The Holy Gospel for this Sunday that we celebrate the Lord's baptism is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I was going to stand here, but I'm not going to. I think I'm going to come down here. I feel I'm not very tall, maybe you noticed. And since my internship congregation, the pulpit was much bigger than this. It was like up to here. And when I would be up there, it was like this. And my internship supervisor wouldn't allow me to not preach in the pulpit. So it's always a thing. See, Pastor Niederlow, I can preach wherever I want. it is my pleasure and delight to be with you today. I said this earlier, but one of the best things about being bishop is to be with the people of God, to worship and praise and pray to our amazing, life-giving, gracious God. So I thank you for the opportunity to praise God with you today. So thank you so much for the invitation, and I'm so happy to be here at Queen Anne. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Savior, Jesus Christ, and from God, the Holy Spirit, who has called us here today so that we may be filled, so we may go out and share the amazing good news with all that we meet. Amen. The other day, I heard a story from a pastor. A pastor came to visit me about something else, but in the midst of as we were talking, he shared this story with me, and I got permission from him to share this story with you, what he said. And so this is, to the best of my recollection, how the story went. And let me tell you who the characters are in the story so that you don't get confused. So there's the pastor who came to talk to me, and then there's a parishioner who talked to him, and then there's the former member who talked to the parishioner, who talked to the pastor, who talked to me. Okay, so that's how it goes. Okay. So a parishioner came to this pastor and asked this pastor if he would reach out to a former member. And the former member had been gone so long from this congregation that the pastor had never even heard of this person's name, didn't know who this person was at all. And we get that, so we get phone calls like that sometimes or requests. I mean, back when I was in the parish, people would say, "Hey, would you go visit Aunt Mildred in the hospital?" And say, "Well, does she want me to come? Does she, you know?" But anyway, we normally do go and visit these people. So the pastor who's telling me this story, he says, "Yes, I will call this former member because this parishioner has asked me to." So he called the parishioner. And when he called the former member. See, I can't even keep it straight. So he called the former member. And when the former member answered the phone, the former member said to the pastor, "You know, I looked at the caller ID on who was calling, and when I saw it was the church, I almost didn't answer." The pastor asked, "Well, why is it that you didn't want to answer the phone?" And the former member said, "Well, back in 1970, when I was serving in Vietnam, I was always so excited to receive letters. And the letters would always come in packets. There would always be a lot of letters together because of just how, I guess, that's how it works. And so all of these letters came, and as I was looking at the letters, I saw that there was one from my church. And I was so glad to receive a letter from my church. And then I opened it. And what this letter said was, "Dear," this person's name, "we haven't seen you in church lately, and we are cleaning our rolls. Therefore, we are removing your name from the member list." The 70-plus-year-old man started crying on the phone as he's talking to this pastor, and he said, "I was serving in Vietnam, and my church kicked me out." So I heard this story early this week, and it just has stayed on my heart and on my mind. And so as I was reflecting on what Jesus's baptism means, and more what our baptisms mean, I just kept thinking of this story. So let's first talk about Jesus's baptism. You know, it's interesting, according to Christian historian John Dominic Crossan, Jesus's baptism story was an acute embarrassment to the early church. They were just embarrassed that he'd gotten baptized. Even 100 years after the event, Jesus's baptism made some Christians uneasy. So much so that the person who wrote the non-canonical Gospel of the Hebrews, which, you know, is like written in the style of the Bible, but it's not included in the canon, so it's one of those extra books out there. But the person who wrote it about 100 years after Jesus' baptism put the baptism story in there, but the way the story goes in the Gospel of the Hebrews, not to be confused with Hebrews, but the Gospel of the Hebrews, is that Jesus denies wanting to be baptized. And he says in this non-canonical Gospel of Hebrews, he says, "Well, I didn't really want to be baptized, but I got baptized to please my mom." Yeah, I know. It's funny. Kind of like today, right? We've heard that from some. So that was the early church. The early church was so embarrassed by Jesus's act that they had some of these extra biblical things out there that said, "Oh, Jesus didn't really want to do it either." So we don't often ask this question, but why did Jesus have to get baptized or want to get baptized or let himself be baptized? I mean, especially by John the Baptist, because if you heard in the gospel today, what it says in there is Jesus went to be baptized by John the Baptist in a baptism of, remember the word? Repentance. A baptism of repentance. So why would the Son of God need to be baptized into a baptism of repentance? Repentance for what? I mean, wasn't Jesus perfect? Why on earth would Jesus wade into the murky waters of the Jordan, joining with all of those who actually probably really did need a baptism of repentance? And why, in this strange ritual, did God the Father decide to part the clouds and call his Son beloved? And why would this be Jesus' first public act? I mean, he's gone pretty much just going along, and at the age of 30 or so, he just decides to go get baptized. I mean, is that the most grandiose act that Jesus could have done to show, "Hey, as God's Son, I'm now starting this ministry"? Well, maybe. Maybe this act, this baptism, was to really show what it means to be incarnate, what it means that God has chosen to be here amongst us. Maybe it was to show, to really show what it means to be intimately connected to God and to one another, to be in beloved, holy communion, community. Maybe it was to show, to really show that from the beginning of creation, all the way, all of creation, all the way leading up to this, to Jesus. As Jesus waded into the Jordan, Jesus was showing all of the story of God and humanity and creation. So you might not have thought of this as you were hearing this story today from the Gospel of Matthew, but the River Jordan really has this rich history in Scripture before Jesus was baptized. So when people saw this and in the early church and further, when they heard that Jesus was in the River Jordan, there's all these other stories that go with the River Jordan. And it all comes into play when Jesus immerses himself there. So think about the River Jordan. The River Jordan was the same river where Moses interpreted the Torah for God's people. And the River Jordan was the same river where Israel crossed over into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. It's the same river where the prophet Elijah ended his prophetic ministry, and it's the same river where Elisha, his successor, began his prophetic ministry. So you have all of these stories that are here about the Jordan River, and here Jesus goes into the river, and all of this collective memory is put into play in that moment. And it's not just the past. It's not just the past of Jesus entering into the Jordan, but it's the future as well. For when Jesus dipped his toe into the River Jordan, Jesus was showing what his public ministry was going to be about. I mean, who were the people who were surrounding him on that day? The best and the brightest? Probably not. The rich and the powerful? Probably not. Instead, Jesus was surrounded by these people who did not have all of their, we'll say, stuff together. Instead, Jesus started his ministry, his public ministry, by identifying, it says, with the whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem. He allied himself with people who were coming to the river for a baptism of repentance. People who were publicly claiming their faults and their failures, their pains and their problems, their sadness and their sorrows. They were coming to John the Baptist saying, "I need to do something about my life." And John said, "Fine, get in here. Get in this water and turn your lives around." And when the waters covered Jesus as he sunk down into the River Jordan, and as he emerged from that water, Jesus said, surrounded by these people, Jesus said, "Look, I'm with you. I'm with you in this stuff that we call life." And when Jesus emerges from the water, that's exactly when the heavens just split open. For Jesus' baptism was so momentous that in that moment, creation was carried all the way back to Genesis, where the separation of sky and earth is reshaped into a new reality. We heard this in the first reading today. It's all about the waters and all about how God is the God of water, and that beautiful refrain that we sang in the psalm today, all of that comes together right here. As the separation of earth and sky is reshaped into this new way of being, this new way how God is going to operate in this world, and God breaks through in Jesus' ministry, and in the very voice of God. God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And Jesus's life, and Jesus's ministry, and Jesus's death, and Jesus's resurrection are all anticipated in that moment when Jesus sinks down into the waters of the River Jordan and emerges. Wow. Creation is rocked. The universe is rocked in this one revolutionary act. Creator and creation, never the same. Heaven and earth come together in this one moment in time as the heavens split, and the reverberations are still felt all the way up to today and into the future. And that moves us from why Jesus was baptized into why do we baptize? This is why we baptize. This is why we continue to pour water on a person's head and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It not just goes back to that particular story of Jesus wading in the water. It includes the whole story of creation and redemption and incarnation, all of it, salvation itself. I mean, aren't there times in our lives when we question or wonder? Times when our lives feel empty or out of control? Times when we forget our baptisms altogether in the everydayness of life? Times when we think, this just seems absurd. And there are times when life just feels like hell on earth. And yet, we are not held in this holy communion, this holy community, because of what we say or what we do or even what we believe. It is not my own profession of faith that holds me in difficult times. It's the saving power of the one who holds history, who holds time, who holds earth and the stars and the sun, the entire universe, and holds me. The one who parts the clouds, blesses the water, and calls me, calls you, calls us beloved. That's the community that we enter into. That's the community that we can trust even when we can't trust it. And this is why I'm so sad about that 70-plus-year-old man crying on the phone. On the one hand, I do understand the need to clean churches' rolls. As a pastor, I've cleaned churches' rolls. On the other hand, what's the question? Why didn't people know that he was in Vietnam? What broke down in that holy community that we all become a part of in our baptisms? What broke down in the communion to which he was baptized? In the hell he was in Vietnam, wasn't there a way to share God's story with him that didn't involve basically receiving a Dear John letter from his church? Who are we? Who are we as church if not a holy community to share, to tell one another, to receive from one another the assurances of our baptisms? That yes, you belong here. That yes, no matter what is happening in your life, you are loved. You are beloved of God. Who are we if the ancient promises of forgiveness and redemption and salvation are not also the promises that are made today, that are shared amongst each one of us and the world? I would like to counter that story that I shared about this man with a story from my own life. When my twin and I were born, we were born 2 months premature. And it was expected that neither of us were going to live. Now, my parents had moved recently to a new town, and like many young people, they just hadn't gone to church since they'd moved there. But here they were in this crisis situation, two babies, and so they had been Lutheran back in the day. So they called the Lutheran pastor of the town they were living in and asked if he would come and baptize these two babies. Now, the pastor could have said no. I don't know who you are. I don't know your beliefs. I don't know if you're baptized. I don't know what you will do into the future. But the pastor came. And I was in one incubator. My twin Sheila was in the other incubator. And the pastor came and we weren't allowed to be touched or held. So the pastor had an eyedropper. And he took the eyedropper with some water in it and he dropped droplets of water. And he said, "Shelley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sheila, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." A few hours after we were baptized, my twin Sheila died. But that's not the end of the story. For you see, the pastor who baptized us went back to his church, went back to that holy community, and told this congregation about this young couple. He said, "We have this new family in our town, and they're grappling with some really difficult things. They have a baby who just died. They're grieving the death of a baby. And they have another baby that is so small and so weak that she can't cry. And so they have to watch her vigilantly and to feed her, and she's not always able to eat because she's just so small that they have to kind of force food into her, and they're not sure if she's going to live either. And then they also have a 2-year-old who's running around crazy. And so how can we be holy community for this family?" And this church community, who didn't know my parents, who didn't know me or my sister Susan, the 2-year-old, they came. They brought casseroles and Jell-O and the things that you bring, and they welcomed them into church. But even more than that, they sat with them in their grief, and they cried with them through my parents' trauma. And my parents understood what it means to be part of a holy community, to be in something that's larger than oneself. They understood what it means to be with God and with the body of Christ. And so I say to you all today, to each of you, you are beloved of God. Not because you are baptized, but because in your baptisms, you hold that trust. You hold that inside of yourself. You know that God is showing God's love and grace in that action of being baptized and forever in your lives. And because you have received that, because you have entered into this holy communion with God and with each other, you are called. You are called to show others God's amazing grace and love and radical welcome. You are called to do this even for those who've been gone for a really long time. Even for those who maybe you look at and you think, I don't really even want you to come to my church. You are called to be with those, even those who say, I don't care about God at all. You are called especially to those. Especially to those, you are called to share God's love to those who are experiencing absence, in whatever form absence is in their lives. So, beloveds of God, may the waters of baptism wash over you daily as you remember that the heavens are opened, that God is here, that Jesus walks with you every day. You are loved. Amen.